to Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to Don Paris, PhD, and he is going to be one of the first scientists or kind of, you know, people that I've had on the show, and this is going to be a learning experience for 99.9% of you, as it was for me. Don is going to be talking to us today on the topic, how to regain wholeness with the use of radionics. Now, that's a word I'm sure that most of you have not heard of, but it's fascinating. So, Don, welcome to the Transform Your Mind radio show, and hopefully every mind will be transformed after talking to you, after listening to you.
Well, most people are gets their mind thinking in different ways after we meet. There's no doubt about that. Thank you for having me on the show, Myrna. It's really my pleasure.
You're very welcome. You know, I am a student of learning. So when your wife asked me if I've heard the word radionics before, and I said no, then I immediately went and learned some things. So I'm not totally green today, but I'm sure that you are going to expand my mind. All right. So let me tell my listeners a little bit more about you.
Okay.
Don Paris, PhD, is a published author, speaker, video producer, and musician. His book, Regaining Wholeness Through the Subtle Dimensions, has been published internationally in German, Spanish, Japanese, Portuguese, and English. He is known as the guru of the SE5, and that's also a new term that I'm sure Don is going to be expanding on, the world's most respected subtle energy instrument. He is well-loved for his style of bringing challenging concepts into an easy-to-understand language, and has been a popular speaker at the Global Sciences Congress, the Congress of Spiritual Scientists, and the United States Psychotronics Association. He has created the most detailed explanation of the principles of radionics and the most advanced training courses in the entire field. He began exploring the subtle dimensions in the early 70s and has now trained people in over 30 countries around the world in the workings of radionics and subtle dimensional realities. Don was awarded an honorary doctorate degree in human sciences from the International University of Vitological Sciences in Stockholm, Sweden, in 2000 for his work with the SE5 and subtle energies. He and his wife, Alona Selke, and you guys have had the pleasure of listening to two of our episodes with Alona. They work as a team and have contributed to radio and TV shows and have been quoted in numerous publications around the world. They teach seminars in quantum physiology, maybe I'm saying that right, psychology in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. I always get those words mixed up. When traveling to teach, they divide their time between their homes in the Pacific Northwest and Bali. In his work, Don has dedicated himself to bridging the barrier of the physical boundaries to the subtle dimensional realities. All right, Don. So
that's a mouthful, huh? Oh my goodness. Even my mind is twirling listening to that.
Well, it's a full bio, but the thing is that anybody that's listening now is more curious than ever before. Like me. We've introduced a couple of terms here. Radionics, we've introduced SE5, which you are the expert on. So before, you know, normally I like to start off the show by having my guests give a little background of themselves, but I'm going to switch it around so that we can, you know, talk to the curiosity of our listeners right now. So I'm going to start off with, what exactly is radionics?
Okay, and using the word exact is already difficult for me because as much as it is a science as such, it works outside of within, but also outside of scientific principles and physics principles of what we understand in our current level of understanding. Now, of course, I'm trying to widen that out, and that was a big reason that I did get an honorary PhD, is for some of my theories that I present in the book. And this, I wrote this book 25 years ago. I think it's been at least 20 years ago.
Okay.
But since that time, we are seeing, excuse me one second. We are seeing this information coming more and more into the forefront of what was radical information 20 years ago is now popping up in scientific circles all over.
Wow, so you were like a breakthrough person.
You know, I do think my thoughts were quite original at the time. I personally don't think there are original thoughts. I think they all do come from a higher dimensional level or, from really a spiritual level. And that was really my calling card. Was I started meditating when I was about 17, 18 years old. And so over these years of diving deeper and deeper into the cosmic, we'll call it the cosmic mind, my personal mind was expanded to understand some of these things that scientists are now catching up with. So that's really where I got the information. It wasn't like I studied science or, I have a natural knack for it, but I wasn't going into university to learn these things. I was very, very fortunate to hang around a lot of very far-out scientists like Bob Beck and Marcel Vogel, who invented the color phosphor for television and the liquid crystal display that you're looking at on your computer right now.
Wow, LCD, right?
And,
right.
And he was deeply into radionics. He had the largest collection of radionic equipment when he passed away as a museum, and he donated it to the United States Psychotronics Association, which is one of the organizations that I speak at very often. And I had the pleasure of working with him. And the Vogel crystal, many people have heard of the Vogel crystal, which is a specially cut-shaped quartz crystal. And what some of the experiments he was doing back in the 80s was he would put like a glass tube around the crystal and spiral it around. And he was working with wineries, and he would take these cheap California wines and put them around the crystal. And not only would, excuse me, one more moment. I have a frog in my throat this morning.
That's all right.
That's okay. He would take these cheap California wines, and not only would they win the wine tasting contests, because that's one aspect of it, but number two, part of what they do to judge a really good wine is they look at the infrared and the ultraviolet spectrum of the wine. So they'll actually shine light through it and look at the pattern of the spectrum that it produces. And it would, before and after, and I've seen all of these. I think you can even find these on the internet if you Google Marcel Vogel and wine tasting contests or whatever. And the before and after it would go around the crystal, it would match these wines that were winning the top wines in the world. And they ended up winning the wine tasting contests worldwide 5 years in a row after putting this cheap wine through these things. And also, and people wouldn't get sick from the wine either. You know, like cheap wines, people tend to.
Yeah.
That's one of the. Now, I don't drink wine at all, but this is the things I've heard is that people, if they drink cheap wine, they'll have a hangover in the morning, where if they drink good wine, more expensive wine, that they don't have that. And so, and that totally changed these cheap wines also in that way, that people were responding as though it was really good wine. So anyway, Marcel Vogel was a pioneer in radionics, and that's where he got a lot of his information. So I think probably the next step is to define, okay, go back to your question, what is radionics?
Yeah, what is it? In English.
Okay. In English.
Right.
Okay, well, it all started almost a little over 100 years ago, believe it or not. This is when electronics were just kind of getting off the ground, radio and that kind of stuff, and that's when we got the name was radionics, came from the word radio, because that was the technology that was around at the time. If it was discovered today, maybe we would call it computeronics or something, you know, but that was what the technology was around at the time and the understanding. But it's a strange phenomenon. But it all started with Dr. Albert Abrams in the early 1900s. And during that time period, he was a medical doctor. He was a medical genius doctor. He got his medical degree at age 16, and he was too young to practice. So he went to Europe and went to Germany and got another medical degree and then came back and started practicing medicine. But this guy was an absolute genius. And during that time period, how they would diagnose a person, one of the diagnostic techniques before we had all this fancy stuff, was they would do a percussion technique on the abdomen. They would tap on the abdomen to see if there were any sore spots. You know, it's kind of simple, but, you know, kind of like they do with the knee
thing. Doctors do it now still,
Yeah. And one day, he noticed that this patient came in and he tapped on him and it had this big hollow sound. And it was like, well, that's kind of weird. He'd never heard that before. And so he went home and he thought about this, going, this is strange. I have to have this guy come back. So he came back, and the hollow sound was gone. And he's really puzzled about this, going, well, was there anything different? And then he thought, oh, well, who knows? He was facing a different direction. Let's put him back exactly in the same place in the same direction. The hollow sound appeared again. And this totally blew his mind, going, what could this be? And so he would turn him in different directions, the sound would go away, and it would come back. So he got to thinking in his genius mind, what earth energies with east, west, north, south, magnetics, could it be a magnetic thing? Could it be an electrical thing? What could this be? And so he started delving into this and having many more of his patients come in and test them. And only when the patient would face west, he could find these hollow tones on their abdomen. It's like a drum almost. And later when he was demonstrating this in auditoriums, we're talking, you know, an auditorium filled with doctors, they could hear the whole thing. This was before microphones. They would hear this hollow drum sound in the entire auditorium. So he ended up training literally hundreds and hundreds of doctors in this method. But the odd part was is that people with different diseases, the hollow sound would appear in a different part of the abdomen. And this got him thinking.
I was just about to ask, what was the purpose of what was the hollow sound indicating? So the hollow sound was indicating a disease?
It did. And so he was able to map this because he knew which diseases some of his patients had. And you know, his curiosity just got a hold of him, so he went crazy with this. And not crazy in a bad way.
I understand.
But, you know, very,
obsessed
very curious.
Is probably a good word, right?
Obsessed is the word. Mm-hmm. And so he had, you know, his hundreds and hundreds of people go through. And he mapped this out, and he was able to then find out what diseases people that he didn't know what they had, he would be able to diagnose them, and sure enough, it turned out they would have those diseases. So originally it became a system of diagnosis.
Okay.
Now, step two was he thought, well, if this is an electrical or magnetic type of reaction, then I wonder if it would follow a copper wire. you know, like mm-hmm. if there was a way to transmit this kind of effect. Mm-hmm. And some of the people, especially if they had a stomach tumor, for example, or an abdomen problem, you know, he can't be pounding on their stomach. Mm-hmm. So he was actually searching for a way to be able to help these people as well. So he got this idea, and again, these are inspired ideas, I don't know, or logical conclusions, but he thought, okay, what if I had two copper plates, one on each side with a wire connecting them, and I put a healthy person on one plate and the sick person on standing on the other plate, I wonder if I could get the hollow sound on the healthy person. And sure enough, he was able to use a surrogate tester, basically, on the mm-hmm. other healthy person on the copper plate, and the hollow sound would appear on the healthy person. So he was then able to diagnose these people with that were too sick to pound on their stomach to do it on the healthy person.
Wow.
Now the effect didn't last
forever.
He was
a genius.
He was just a genius.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't pound on their stomachs forever, the healthy person. The effect would wear off, basically. So he needed to have lots of healthy people, and you know, it was a difficult situation to find good, healthy, strong people and enough of them to keep working with every day with clients.
Right.
And the other problem that he had was, one thing he discovered is that multiple diseases would show up with the same hollow sound. So, you know, because as he started exploring this, there are only so many places on the stomach, right?
Stomach that you can hit, right. Mm-hmm.
And so he was then searching for a way to, like, delineate between one disease and another disease.
Okay.
So he got this idea, and this is where the electronics started coming into the picture. And he created he worked with some radio engineers, and that's where this term again started showing up. Was started working with some engineers, and he thought maybe we could filter out some of these electronic vibrations or whatever. He thinks they're electronic at this point, even though electronic mm-hmm. as such hadn't been invented, but these vibrations or frequencies were traveling on this wire. He thought, if I put a resistance box in between the two people, maybe I could filter out one disease versus another.
Mm.
And it worked. And that was the biggest breakthrough. And this was the very, very beginning of what we now have radionics, which is computerized and just, you know, it's gone. It's a quantum leap from there. But those were the very, very beginnings of looking at what is this vibration that's moving? Is, you know, it's not, he thought it was electrical. We've proven since then that it's not, but in our sense of what we think of as electrons running through a wire. So the next step was he got this idea of instead of pounding on the stomach, he's wondering if this is a vibration that's sort of like a drum head that's vibrating on the stomach, or stretching, or I don't know how he would think of it, but more like a drum. He's wondering if he could use something on the skin that would pick up these vibrations. And he tried different materials, and he came up with a glass rod. And, you know, if you ever rub like a glass rod on your hair, it'll pick up pieces of paper. Have you ever done that as a kid? We used to do that as a kid.
Well, no. I used to rub gold and make it get hot. Same thing?
Oh, no. No, no. If you take a glass rod and you rub it on your hair, just on your hair, it'll pick up static electricity, and you can go
right. Yes. And then push it to someone else, and it will shock them. Like, I've done that.
No,
great.
Yeah, it might do that, but it'll also pick up pieces of paper.
Okay.
So glass has some electric properties. You know, it'll pick up static and stuff. So what he found was he could just lightly rub over the abdomen. And it would actually stick onto the part of the body where, you know, sticky, like it would get, like, glued on in a way, in the place where that hollow sound would be. And so that was his new method. Instead of pounding on the stomach, he would just rub the glass rod over the abdomen. And then he was able to diagnose these people. Well, this went on for quite a few years. I don't remember how long, 20, 30 years, he developed these processes, taught doctors all over the world. And about this time is when the Rockefellers started investing into pharmaceuticals.
Oh.
And they formed the American Medical Association, which was to basically, from my perspective, help the Rockefellers and get rid of both electromedicine and homeopathy. That was their goal. In the original charter of the AMA was to eliminate electromedicine and homeopathy, and later chiropractic, as we all know. The chiropractic
one. Yeah, I think I read that when I was, it wasn't not as specific as that, but I read that the science started here and then America or the United States got rid of it and now it's all in the East. And it's
right.
Probably coming back or something. Yeah, I read that. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is back. But in the original charter, I have read the original charter. I don't have a copy of that anymore, but my good friend Bob Beck had that. I read it. Mm-hmm. The original charter was, it stated right in the charter that their goal was to eliminate electromedicine and homeopathy.
Mm.
They didn't say to promote pharmaceuticals, but as we all know, that's what did happen.
Right, exactly. Wow.
That became the
big
medicine.
Old pill. Right.
Yeah. And
yes.
And mm-hmm. and they're, you know, pharmaceuticals have their place, no doubt. They've saved a lot of lives, no doubt. But they're kind of overused, it seems, these days too. But
mm-hmm.
So anyway, they went about then basically working to eliminate electromedicine, and this fell under that category, Abrams' work. And so basically they destroyed him, put him in jail, said he was a fraudster.
Oh, wow.
They did this with, you know, lots and lots and lots of people. This wasn't just an isolated case. That was the goal. And, you know, and from a business perspective, you know, that makes all sense. But he ended up basically dying a broken man and with all of his research. But people carried on his work because he had taught a lot of people. So this went through many different generations. And they've just basically kept... people just keep doing it because they get results. And so it's not really a big movement at all. There's, you know, like you've probably never heard of the United States Psychotronics Association. I think we had about the yearly conference this year. We maybe had 70 people, you know. I mean, it's not a big conference, you know.
That is small, right.
It
right.
is very small. Okay. But these people are dedicated and
yeah.
they love the work.
So I'm still confused a little bit, though.
Okay.
So he was able to, from what I'm understanding, he was able to figure out that if you hit the stomach and it makes a certain hollow sound,
yeah.
that the person has a disease. But then, you know, multiple diseases will show up with the same hollow sound. So then he got this resistance box, and he got the glass rod. And so were they able to then pinpoint this? Let's say that the Rockefellers didn't, abandon this and all that. Where was he going with that? What is the benefit of that?
That's a very good question.
Right.
The benefit was, yeah, okay. Mm. So I've left out the second half of the story. So, okay. So the diagnostic part was working. He got it pretty refined to an art, as all doctors are. You know, they're artists. They're, you know, they're not necessarily scientists. They're artists. It's an art to be a doctor in healing. And so then he went back to his radio engineers, and he's thinking that, okay, if these are vibrational frequencies, if these are electronic types of frequencies, if we could isolate those frequencies, could we send back corrective frequencies to get the body to heal that? And that's where the trouble came in, is that he developed a little box called the reflexophone, and would then send back corrective frequencies. And people were getting well. And that's where the big problem came in. I think if it was just diagnostic and he had stayed with that, then maybe he wouldn't have gotten in so much trouble. But he was actually getting results of people getting well from sending these frequencies back. And that's where the trouble started. And
that is powerful, right?
That's powerful. And then the next step was even, and this is where it starts moving from, okay, the general public out there that's listening to me goes, well, I can understand all that. That makes sense. This is where the big leap, the quantum leap happens, is where he got thinking, okay, if he has some people were too ill to come even to his office, and he thought, well, instead of having the person stand on one, the sick person on one copper plate and the healthy person on the other one where he would use a glass rod, could he, and I don't know how he came up with these ideas, could he take a little blood sample from the person and put it on the copper plate and then rub on the healthy person? Would he pick up would he be able to diagnose that person? And it worked. And that's where it kind of goes from science to woo, is how could that be?
No, because the blood can tell a lot. You can tell a lot about a person by their blood. It's so I can understand that. That's why they take blood tests. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, yeah. But they're in blood tests, they're actually looking at, down into the blood with a microscope or doing certain things to it. This was some kind of electrical vibration that was going through a wire that he could dial in different resistances and then come up with a diagnosis. And this was this is where things started getting dicey. And then this guy was a genius. So then that's where then it moved from woo woo to big woo woo, and I don't know how he came up with this one. As he thought, well, if I could, instead of treating, having the person come in and being exposed to these radio waves, at the time they used these, whatever they called them, radio waves, could I treat the blood instead, and the person would get well at the other end? And that's when it just got wild, is that it went outside of almost everybody's expectations except Einstein, who called this kind of effect spooky action at a distance. And
Einstein weighed in on the process too, right?
Well, he was aware that this this weird kind of thing, not he didn't know Abrams or what was going on in this field, but in terms of physics, there are some things in physics and quantum physics, and we all now all this stuff has been proven. We have explanations, let's put it that way, of how some of these things can happen. But at the time, it was like way out there, and it still is for the common person, that how can something have a action at a distance? But let me give you one more story. Cleve Baxter, do you remember the album from Stevie Wonder, The Secret Life of Plants, back in the 70s, I think it was?
Don't know the album, but I thought I saw something in a movie or something. Right.
there might have even been a movie. Okay, so
I've seen that, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of this came from, started out from the work of Cleve Baxter. And he worked for the CIA doing polygraph testing, lie detector. He worked with lie detectors, the polygraph, and electroencephalograph, which picks up very, very small changes in electrical vibrations. Well, Cleve, this was one of the other scientists I got to hang around with back in the 80s, and he was fascinating. I mean, literally fascinating. He came up with this idea to hook up his lie detector to a plant, right, to see if there would be any signal at all. So he clipped on the electrodes, and sure enough, there was a little, signal going blip, 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 blip. And he's going, this is really weird. I guess this thing's really alive, like we're alive, And then this is where...
What does it lie?
Exactly. Well, he thought, what could I do to this plant to get a reaction, right? Because it's just going on, just blipping along like we would, So he wasn't necessarily looking to see if it would tell the truth or lie, but he thought, what could I do to this plant to get a reaction? And he thought, well, I could, I could burn it with a match, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as he thought that, the electroencephalograph went off the scale. This plant reacted to his thought of him burning the plant. No, and this just freaked him out. This was his introduction into the world. And so he started doing these experiments. Now, he was never able to replicate that experiment, interestingly enough. And he thinks because he realized that these plants really are alive. At that point, he's going, I would never do that to a plant. So in his mind, even if he tried to think, okay, I'm going to burn this plant, there's a subconscious, deeper thought process in himself that said, I'm not going to do that.
You're going to do that, he never, right?
No, because he really realized this plant felt him. It felt his his intention, the original intention. And
wow.
So then that, you know, that caused a whole, and all these people were basically involved with Cleve and the United States Psychotronics Association. He got involved in that and radionics and started trying to figure all this stuff out. But his second experimental level, and this is where it all starts making sense, is that he did what's called The Secret Life of the Cells. And so there was another book called that as well.
Okay.
And so what he did is he took some saliva cells and got a little way to hook up the electroencephalograph to some saliva in a petri dish and to see if the cells were communicating with the person at a little bit of a distance. So they did a couple different experiments and they found out there was something happening, this connection between the cells and the person, even at a little bit of a distance. So in the movie they showed, which is very, very funny, they had two cameras, and the guy comes, the subject, they've already taken his saliva, and they're behind a two-way mirror, so they're in the other room, so they can see the guy outside, and the cameras are showing both of them. And then in the control room, you're seeing this electroencephalograph running, and it's just connected to his saliva cells, not much is happening. And the guy doesn't know what this test or what this study's about, so he's just in the waiting room, sitting there by himself in this waiting room. Well, there's a Playboy magazine sitting on the coffee table. And so we're watching the electroencephalograph just go along normally, and finally he kind of looks over at the magazine, and there's a little tiny blip, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're waiting a little bit longer, and finally he kind of starts to reach for the magazine, and it goes up a little higher, but then he comes back. No, I'm not gonna look at it, you know. But eventually, okay, he reaches over, he grabs the magazine, and now we're getting pretty good-sized little waves on the electroencephalograph, right, as he's pretending to read the articles. And finally he gets to the centerfold, and he pulls out the centerfold, and this, you know, this electroencephalograph, which is not connected to his body, right? We're talking his saliva cells in another room. And
wow.
This electroencephalograph was just going off of the chart.
Wow.
So it did show that incredible.
That's incredible science. Yes.
Yeah, incredible science.
Wow, that's incredible science. So you still haven't told us where this, the radionics comes into all this, or what is it exactly your specialty with the radionics thing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. It's like I said, it's a hard thing to exactly talk about because
right. Mm-hmm.
So, just to finish this last part of the story. So, the U.S. Army heard about these studies from, you know, this was all published. It's in a book called The Secret Life of the Cells, and it's about Cleve's work. But they wanted to find out how far this effect could go, right? So they started testing how far away they could get this effect from the cells to see, you know, for communication, how long the cells were staying connected. And they got as far as 150 miles away when they gave up the study, saying, there's no known physics that could explain that. There's no signal strong, you know, this signal strength is not possible 150 miles away of anything that we understand from radio or cell phones or microwaves or anything like that. So it's working on a totally different principle, basically goes back to what Nikola Tesla was experimenting with what we now call scalar waves or scalar electromagnetics, which is working with a collapsed electromagnetic field. It creates what's called technically a standing wave. And my good friend Eldon Bird, who has also passed away, he was part of all these incredible scientists. He worked for the military specifically in, his division was with scalar, they were trying to develop what we would call scalar weaponry. Which would be this strange phenomena, which we would call it causes weird things to happen, not only communications, but they worked also with communications. They were able to send signals and communications like through a mountain, which, you know, like in certain places, it's too difficult to bounce it up off of the ionosphere and back down. And they had difficulties like underwater or different places where we need to get signals and communications through. And they were successful in getting communications through a mountain from one side to the other, for example, without bouncing it off,
off
the atmosphere. But he also worked in weaponry, and he said they really developed some terrible things. And the happiest day of his life was when Clinton took over administration, and they came into his office and they said, "We're shutting you guys down. Just burn everything and get rid of all of your research that you've done for the last 20 years. And he said it was the happiest day of his life because some of the things that they developed were really, nasty weapons. I mean, all weapons are nasty.
Wow.
But
okay.
They had some crazy stuff, which I don't really know what all those were. But
Because they burnt them up.
Yeah, so he said they basically trashed all the research, and he said it was one of the happiest days of his life. And, he was an amazing scientist as well. So radionics, my role in it is mainly teaching. I've taught people in way more than 30 countries around the world at this point. That's kind of old bio. I've developed an online teaching platform. Radionics.online is a school, and people can learn about this. Some are free courses, some are paid courses for people that actually practice this. And so mainly I'm mostly into teaching and getting people to find out what is the science and what can be done with it. Because it's not just, the other big problem that came in, the medical industry was one area that didn't like it and suppressed it. But I think what was even bigger was in the 1950s, they started working with plants to see what they could do with plants. And so they were, the USDA actually did some studies in 1953, I think it was. I have the published studies in my book. Or unpublished studies. The USDA actually never published them. But what they did was they were taking, in these studies, they would take an aerial photograph, and that's a whole other discussion of how you can use a photograph, but I do go through that in my book.
Take an aerial
photograph. Yeah, do you need a break?
I think No. I was going to ask a question because when I did my research, and I did my research a couple of ways. Like I said, I went on YouTube and I listened to someone talking, but I had to listen to three whole sessions to come up with an answer. And then I listened to one of your videos that you have, and I'm totally confused now because the what I learned when I did the research that radionics was supposed to be like a recording thing. Like, for instance, the guy equated it to how we can record music on a CD, or how we used to record it in a tape before. He said it's a recording electronics or system where you can code something and then get it back out. And then I heard you talk about putting something into a seed and having the plant come out. So bridge that for me. Why am I confused?
Okay. Yeah, and this is a deep subject. Like when we first talked, I said, I could go on for days about this, and I do.
Right.
Okay. So what we're talking about on one side, and it could have been me talking about that as well, which is imprinting materials with information.
Yeah.
What we've discovered is that these radionic frequencies is what originally they thought they were some kind of frequency, are actually what are called informational fields. It's pure information. And so like what we use now a lot, we can put this information into a crystal and bury the crystal in the soil, and it'll radiate out this information and the plants grow better. You know, this has been done hundreds of times. For example, but we could also program what's called like a holographic film, like a CD. You know, the The CD, if you look at it, kind of like makes rainbows. And like these holographic stickers you see, like on the back of your credit card, for example, if you look at them in the light, there's kind of a rainbow in there. Well, these are actually layers of crystals, really micro crystals. And that's why they're reflecting the light this way. And they can be imprinted with informational fields. A little bit like homeopathy in a way of putting a specific, it's a vibrational pattern, but it's an informational field. And this information then can be withdrawn back out, and our body and our body, mind, and energy field, it's really our auric field, our energy body around our body, can interpret these informational fields and put them to work. So, for example, you might have a hologram programmed for sleep, right? That would so when it's in your informational field, your aura picks up this information and says, "Oh, yeah, let's relax and go to sleep and have a good night's sleep, restful sleep." So they did a double-blind study on sleep, for example, with these holographic stickers, and the people got. They didn't say they slept longer, but they felt like they were more rested and slept deeper than normal than without the stickers. And it was double-blind placebo. Nobody knew which stickers they were getting. They all got stickers, but some were programmed and some weren't. And they did the same thing with for example, rhinosinusitis. I don't know why they picked that one particularly, but it was a more of a physical thing that could be measured. And the difference between the placebo group and the regular group, now placebo means they got a sticker, but it didn't have the programming in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so those people, so I don't give you the actual wrong information, I'm going to look this one up.
Mm-hmm.
So they had in the group, they had a 93% success rate of symptom relief with these holographic stickers that only had information in them, compared with the placebo group that had 9% success rate, and they all got stickers.
Okay. All right.
So it's just amazing. And then pain, for example, they had 250 people in each group, and the ones that got the placebo had an 18% improvement, which is consistent with placebo. Placebo means, it's not really the real thing, but the person believes it is.
Believes it, right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the other one, they had an 83% improvement in their pain, for example. So these are just excerpts from some double-blind placebo-controlled studies. So what we've done with this information now is we've taken it one more step, and these stickers actually have to be stuck right on the body. And you can find these things on Amazon. I don't remember who makes them, but if you look for holographic stickers for pain, for example, and they've got great reviews. I've read some of these reviews on Amazon, and people absolutely love these things. And, you can't hide that on Amazon, because if they get a bad review, they get a bad review.
Right,
People really like them. So what we took that one step further, and we thought, I'm thinking if this works stuck on the body, how could we make that field a little bit bigger so you don't have to put these stickers all over your body? And I made a little frequency generator that would then send a frequency through the hologram and spread it out. It goes out maybe about 3 or 4 feet. We've made these little frequency generators into jewelry, for example. So you can wear a pendant or a bracelet.
Oh,
and,
that's pretty. So that's not the SE5, right? That's something else?
No, but we use the SE5 to put that information into those holographic stickers. So the SE5 is kind of the mothership, and that's working in the realm of radionics itself, which is a much bigger thing. But these are small little generators. And I did not actually invent the SE5 or the little generator. I worked with Dr. Willard Frank, who was a PhD physicist, and for 25 years. And so I took over his work after he died.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and you're going to explain to us about how someone that's listening can use this for their benefit. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Okay.
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 If you would like to improve the quality of your life and don't have the budget to hire a coach, then I have an offer for you. Why not play the game of life and learn the skills to maneuver life situations? How many of you have played the game of Monopoly and learned the value of having property to collect rent? Well, Points of View is a leading company in the field of training for personal and business development. Points of View use games to explore significant life themes in a fun, unique, and powerful way. Games are designed for use by professionals, organizations, or individuals. The games are designed to help you look deep inside yourselves and the environment around you. It is a stimulating exploration that sharpens your senses and opens up new possibilities. So who can use Points of View games? Anyone wishing to reconnect and enhance communications with themselves and others. Anyone in search of fresh perspectives on dilemmas, relationships, and decision-making. Those seeking interchange and the opportunity to build new bridges. Points of View is a collection of various games. The coaching game features 65 associate cards that explore significant everyday themes. Punction fosters associate connections between photos, themes, and questions. These flexible combinations make it a fascinating tool, highly effective in dynamic therapy, coaching, and counseling. Faces is a powerful way to get to know ourselves through the observation of others. For more information or to purchase one or more of these games, head over to https://poy4all.com/transform, which is TRANSFORM. These games would make perfect Christmas gifts for someone that you love so that they can have coaching in a fun and exciting way. So, once again, that website is https://poy4all.com/transform.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are having a very deep conversation with Don Paris. And Don is talking to us today about subtle energies and radionics and talking about how we can use radionics to help us diagnose illnesses and send frequencies and build weapons, and we can do a lot of things with this technology. But as we're gonna, you know, coming to the, you know, the last segment of our show, I just want to bring the conversation into how can our listeners take advantage of this technology. And I know you touched on in your work, you talk about the electromagnetic pollution, things like that. So I'm going to ask you a big question. If you want to touch on that, and also your SE5 and subtle energies and things like that.
Okay. Well, electromagnetic pollution is what I actually thought I was going to talk about the whole time, and we got really sidetracked, so we might have to do another show.
Okay, sure. All right. But, well, I wouldn't mind that.
But electromagnetic pollution, basically what that is frequencies that we don't see or hear or feel, but they're all around us, and all you have to do is open your little cell phone and look to see how many bars you have, and you know that you're inside of... You're inside of a field of microwaves, right? I mean, and it'll even tell you how strong they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, right now we all want them to be really strong, so we have great internet signal and we have great phone signal, but our cells don't think of it that way. So our cells in our body are, they have been, let's say, oriented towards the Earth's magnetic field, for one. The, the Earth actually has a pulse to it. It's called the Schumann resonance frequency. And it puts out an electromagnetic pulse, mainly because of the lightning that's striking all around the planet. We have get a couple thousand lightning strikes per second around the planet, and it creates a resonance around our Earth. That's at least what the theory of what the Schumann resonance is. And our cells have been oriented to these biofrequencies from the lightning and from the Earth's pulse for, you know, thousands if not millions of years. And all of a sudden, in the last 100 years, we have frequencies coming at us from all directions in all different levels, all the way up into the gigahertz frequencies, you know, very, very fast frequencies, because the Schumann resonance is very low, like 7 or 8 cycles per second. You know, it's very slow waves, and all of a sudden these fast waves are coming in. And imagine if somebody's been trying to, you know, sing lullabies to you to go to sleep every night, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a heavy metal band shows up in your bed. And you're supposed to go to sleep with
I like,
you know,
that analogy, right?
And so our cells are freaking out. And I will send you a couple pictures of this, because we've actually taken blood samples and looked at the cells. Hmm. So we took a woman that had normal, you know, just before anything, no cell phone, no CHEO generator or anything, which is one of our instruments. She took her blood, and her cells weren't that great to begin with, but they should have like space around all the cells. You know, the cells need to breathe, take in oxygen and nutrients and excrete the toxins. Well, hers were a little clumpy, but not too bad, you know. And then I had her make a 10-minute cell phone call, and her blood cells were just on top of one another. They're completely clumped together. And instead of looking like individual cells, it looked like individual blobs of cells. I mean, it just
looks I get the picture. Right. Wow.
And then, so I had her turn on one of these little chi generators. It's called a chi organizer, or the CHEO for short. We call it the CHEO. And it's a bio-friendly frequency generator. It puts out specific frequencies that we know are beneficial to our biosystem.
Okay.
And after 10 minutes, her cells had all spread out and looked way better than what she even started with before the cell phone call.
Nice.
And I'll send you some of those pictures. Hopefully you can put them up on your blog. But
So people can access. So that's good to know.
And so we've been, you know, people have had these little generators. Some people are now electromagnetically sensitive people. They call them EMF sensitive. And like I know one person in Switzerland, she couldn't sleep in a hotel with Wi-Fi on, even 3 floors down. She would ask them to turn it off at night. And she would know if they didn't turn it off. She would go down there in the middle of the night and go, "I'm not sleeping. Did you remember to turn off the Wi-Fi?" And they said, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
Wow. You're right. We're definitely going to have another conversation than this, because I thought I read something like that about, you know, the Wi-Fi thing where, you know, you can pick up Wi-Fi. You can pick up Wi-Fi from your neighbor, right?
Yep.
You don't have a code to get into it. But, yeah,
no,
you
can pick up Wi-Fi from your... No, but the frequencies are coming in.
Exactly. Yes. I've heard that.
And we're pretty blanketed. Actually, I'll send you a map of that shows the blanketing of America. It's blanketed pretty much everywhere except in Montana and the mountains. But after a year of using our little CHEO, she was able to sleep in hotels, and they didn't have to turn the Wi-Fi off. So it helped her to deal
with it. So your CHEO, is this SE5? Are we going to get to that?
I think we're going to have to wait. I think we're going to have to wait for the next show on the SE5.
Okay, and then you're going to talk about the SE5.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, but, you know, if people are interested in radionics in general and they'll see the SE5, they can go to the radionics.online. And it's a school. It's a radionics school, but it's, like I said, there are lots of free things. And I do talk about things on, you know, how the stuff and show demos and all that kind of stuff. So that would be the thing to do, is go to radionics.online.
Okay, so how can they get in touch with you and get a copy of your book? And what does your book talk about specifically?
Well, my book goes through some of the history that I've already talked about here, and then into the future, so present and future in my book, Regaining Wholeness Through the Subtle Dimensions. And I do give that book out for free if they do sign up for my newsletter. And that's they would go to se-5.com. So S stands for subtle energy. So subtle energy minus five, se-5.com.
That's easy.
And sign up for my newsletter, and they'll get a PDF of my book that they can download. And that goes through the history and uses. How can they use it around the house? How can they change their toothpaste so that their teeth can get whiter, for example? We can affect little things, you know, in our environment. Getting rid of odors in a carpet, for example, without spraying it with something else, you know. Just interesting things. We've used it for
interesting and useful too. I like the two that you mentioned. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And we don't work a lot in the medical field anymore because of the American Medical Association and all of that. They don't really like this kind of work. So we don't really. I don't talk much about that in my book. It's more like, okay, how can we use it with plants and animals and it's fun stuff. It's really fun stuff. So they can get my book there. But for the little electromagnetic protection, they need to go to chiorganizer.com.
How do you spell that?
C-H-I is the word.
Chi organizer?
Our chi is our energy body. You know, like with acupuncture, we have chi running in our meridians, for example.
So chiorganizer.com.
So those are the main three things, the radionics.online, se-5.com, and chiorganizer.com. And that'll pretty much cover the ground of what I've been doing for the last 30 years.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for giving us that history. There was some really good stuff in there. It's too bad that we're not being able to use that because, we're looking at some quantum healing here. that's awesome. Great work, I can actually see it myself. Instead of, pumping people with drugs that have all these kind of side effects, then there's different ways to, heal just by energies and things like that. So that is awesome. Well, Don, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your detailed answers on the history. And I like the fact that, what we're ending with is a curiosity, I'm hoping that I'm hoping that the audience will tune in for our next segment, because this is something that affects everyone. Everyone has a cell phone. Everyone has a microwave.
It has Wi-Fi meters are coming on. The whole thing. So I think we should do a whole segment on that and educate people about what's going on and what's being put in around them so they can become aware of it. I really want to do that.
Yes. So we'll definitely do that. So I want to thank our audience for tuning in today. So we will have a part two of our topic, which would be how to regain wholeness with the use of radionics and understanding electromagnetic pollution and how it affects your lives and what you can do to control it. So thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. you can get some information on Don's website, and I'm gonna have links on my site to the three websites that Don sent you to. We're also gonna have some images that you can look at. On my blog, and also that you can go to the blog to get a full transcript of our conversation today and links to the podcast. The show comes on the radio, but it's also converted to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and, of course, iTunes. So you can get all that information on my blog, and I'll have some links. So remember to subscribe and rate and review the podcast so that we will continue with our top rating and more people will be able to get this great information. Every week I try to bring you some great content that will allow you to live your best lives now. We have experts that come on the show of great quality, like Don Paris here today. So, so until next time, Don, thanks again. Until next time, namaste.
You're sure welcome. Thank you so much, Myrna. It was fun. It was really fun.
All right. Okay. Thanks. Namaste. Mm-hmm.